one of the many marvels that a person finds when they learn Torah is what a diversity of opinions that exists even in one line in a Gemara, one line in Halacha, and the full variety of, again, deos, mineu bei, often that perhaps are contradictory, but instead of it being something that in any way diminishes or minimizes the beauty of Torah, it's something which really expands it, something that expands the full sort of gamut of Jewish thought, of halachic thought, of Shivim Pam LaTorah, the recognition that, especially in certain areas, there are different versions of MS. And that's really something that, as we began to learn Pirkei Avos a few weeks ago, and just as an aside, the source for learning Pirkei Avos goes back to the time of the Gaonim, many different reasons given for the minhag, many different minhagim as to when exactly a person should be learning Pirkei Avos. But the standard minhag is to start learning at the Shabbos after Pesach and until Shavuos. So this past week, we learned Perek Gimel. I want to focus for a few minutes on one Mishnah, really one line in Perek Gimel, and to highlight, as I mentioned before, the vast array of opinions that exist and the very significant hashkafic ramifications of these different opinions. And the Mishnah says, and there's, as often is the case with Pirkei Avos, there are different either girsaos, and there's also different enumerations of which Mishnah it is. But in the version in many of the Mishnayos, it's Perek Gimel, Perek Tes, Rabbi Yaakov Omer HaMahalach Baderech V'shone U'mafsik M'mishnaso V'yomer Manoe Ilan Zeh. A person is going on the road, and they're learning, and they're mafsik from their learning, they interrupt their learning, and they say, Manoe Ilan Zeh, how pleasant, how beautiful is this tree, Manoe Nir Zeh, how pleasant, how beautiful is this field. So then it's as though he has brought harm upon himself. The pasuk renders him as someone who is mechayi b'nafsho. He's brought guilt, he's brought potential danger upon himself. And of course, the question that everyone poses is, what exactly is so inappropriate about this idea? Hamahalach baderech v'shone, a person is learning, umafsik m'mishnaso, he interrupts his learning, v'omer manoe ilon ze, manoe nir ze, how beautiful is this tree? You would think that this is an absolutely appropriate gesture, an appropriate action. You would think this demonstrates a person who is a sensitive, religious personality. So there are many different answers given to this question, and I want to briefly just highlight or mention five of those answers. One answer is brought down by the great Rav Avadia Bar Tanura, one of the premier Perushim on Pirkei Avos, and Bar Tanura says the following. He says, Yaakov Omer Hamahalach Baderech V'shone Umafsik Mishnaso, I'm sorry. He says, Hu adin l'chol sicha b'teila. I apologize. He said, this is true for any sicha b'teila. It's not just that a person is going on the road. It's not a specific din that he's walking in the road and he comments on a tree. It could be that if a person is sitting in their living room and instead of looking in the sefer that he's learning, he starts thinking about whatever sports game is going on, he's thinking about what's for dinner. I mean, any type of batala, the Bar Tanura says, is inappropriate. But rather, why is it mentioned specifically the road? El shadiber behove shederech holchei drachem ledaber b'mashiroyim b'neiyim. It's sort of like giving a real life case. You're walking along the road, you're talking and learning, or you're learning, and it's sort of apropos, or it's common that you would start commenting about the foliage, you'd be commenting about the tree. So, but really, any case of being mafsik from learning, any bittul Torah, says the Bar Tanura, your mischai b'nafsho. The Bar Tanura said there is, in fact, a greater chiddush here. V'yesh omrim da'ashmi'inan rebusa is a chiddush Even though normally looking at a tree, looking at God's beauty, would animate and would mechayiv a person to say a bracha, baruch shikach alo ba'olamo, or perhaps even a birchas ilanos. In this case, he's doing so in the middle of learning. He's mischai ben nafsho b'pnei hivsik m'mishnaso. So normally, the same action is something that would be lauded, that would inspire bracha. But in this situation, he's mischai ben nafsho because he's masik from learning. Now, the point of the Bartanura, and this is the point of most of the Mefarshim, is that bitul Torah, this mishnah's highlighting the perniciousness, the dangers, the corrosive quality of bitul Torah, whether you're on the road, whether you're in the house. Now, along the same lines, Rabbeinu Yonah said the following. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbeinu Yonah, of course, has a commentary on Pirkei Avos, one of the classic commentaries. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Ki ba'od sha'odam shone, ein lo lahasiach sichas chulin, ki tzarech la'amod b'yira u'be'ema lifnei ha'torah, ki inyan sha'amru, kol talmid sheshone ve'ein siv sosav nodfin mor, tachvena. Okay, so he says, again, very sharply, he said that when a person learns, he needs to do so without any break. He needs to have a sense of yira and ema. He needs to have a sense of real concentration. He needs to be totally dialed in. So Rabbeinu Yonah's highlighting is not just what the Bartanura said, that he's being mafsik from learning, but that it's even more than that. It's that him being mafsik from learning, to comment on the tree, is a reflection that the way in which he sat there learning was inappropriate. There was something missing from the yira and ema. He took it too lightly. I remember Ron Spiegel, when he was Rosh Yeshiva, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU. So he spoke, I think in reference to this Mishnah, about the guy who is learning, sitting on the couch or lying on the couch, his feet up, holding a soda, sort of in a total state of relaxation. I mean, that's the real issue here. It's not just that he's mafsik, but it's that his whole posture about learning is inappropriate. I just this year bought a sefer, which I've not seen before, in Pirkei Avos. It's a sefer written by the son of one of the Tamidim of the Altar Meis Lubavitcher. The sefer is called Avos Obanim. The name of the Talmud of the Talmud Lubavitcher was Rabbi Dov Kohn, who's well known in the Mussar world. And his son wrote up his father's Perush from Pirkei Avos based on Rabbi Dov Kohn's experience with the Altar. So one of the pshatim that in this sefer Avos Habanim, so that Rabbi Kohn provides, is essentially the same thing that Rabbeinu Yonah said. Namely, Osahu Taraso Krayim Krayim. It's like he sort of rips up and makes his Torah piecemeal. Mafsik Le'ilon. First, he sort of is distracted by the tree. Then Veshuv Lanir. Then he's distracted by the field. V'chein Hala V'hala. He keeps on looking up and looking around and looking at his phone. And so it's not so much that he's being mapsic, but it's that the entire sort of posture is not one of aim of a yira. It's not one of seriousness. So again, it's like the sheet of the Bartanura, but it seems like it's more focusing on the gavra as opposed to on the maisa itself of being mapsic. Now there's a third pshat which is brought down by Tosas Yantiv, by many others as well. And the Tosas Yantiv rejects the premise of the Bartanura, that the Bartanura said that this Mishnah is speaking in a general sense, that anybody who's learning and they're mafsik to say, you know, anything, he's mischai ben nafsho. It's not dafka, it's not specifically that a person is holach b'derech. The Tosas Yantiv says, no. This Mishnah is specifically speaking about a person who is mafsik b'limudo b'derech. And Tosas Yantiv says the following, Shehu Mekom Sakana, that being on the road is a place of Sakana, and that which is giving him protection is Lima Torah. And when he stops learning, then he's Mischai B'Nafsho. It's not so much a din of Bittul Torah Stam in a person's living room, this is a specific din of a person who is Holach Baderech. And Tosfos Yontif says, V'yesh Mefarshim to Lav Dafka, it's not just Holach Baderech, this like the Bar Tanura, El Hua Din Babayis, El Baderech Shrichi, Lon Benir, V'efshar Shiyapsik. You know, this is just, you know, the reason that it mentions the road as opposed to anywhere else is because, you know, this is where there's a tree, this is where there's a field, it's more likely he's going to be mafsik on the road. But again, the first day is that this is a specific halacha that a person can't be mafsik while they're traveling. So again, just to chazer those three opinions, the Bar Tanura says that this is really an inyan of being mafsik b'Torah, b'Tal Torah. Rabbeinu Yonah and Rabbi Dov Kohn, one of the Tamidim of the Altmei Sobotka, said that it's really a reflection of a lack of a proper perspective, a proper attitude towards learning without seriousness, without a real sense of kim chayenu, concentration. Elasi Tosfos Yontif says, no, this is a specific din of the derech, that the person is going to lose his protection and he's going to be sort of thrown open to the challenges and to the potential dangerous situations of the road. I want to mention two other pshatim that, to me, sort of very much struck a chord. So one of which comes from the writings of Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch did not write a separate sefer in Pirkei Avos, but of course we know that Rav Hirsch wrote a siddur, and in the siddur is his commentary in Pirkei Avos. And like everything that Rav Hirsch writes, it is just masterful, beautiful. The language, his ability to express ideas. And before I mention this idea by Rav Hirsch, I do just want to highlight that there's a story that is said by Talmidim who were there, that Rav Hirsch was always makbid to tell his Talmidim that when they leave the yeshiva, they should make sure to go see the Alps, and that he wanted to go see the Alps. And of course, we know he was asked, you know, why are you going to take your time to go see the Alps? And the famous answer is that he's going to be called to task for not seeing God's beauty, for not seeing the Alps. And also, that basic statement of Rav Hirsch very much is part of like a harmonious position towards Torim Derech Eretz, and what exactly that means, and how Torim Derech Eretz, what exactly that is. And this is not our topic now, but you should be aware of the fact, there's a very famous essay by Rav Schwab, whether Rav Hirsch supported the idea of Torah Derech Eretz L'Chachila, was it a B'dievid, was it a Shas D'Chak? This has been a long debate in Rav Hirsch for the last, you know, 160 years or so, maybe a little bit less. But certainly this next interpretation of the Mishnah, not that it necessarily comments on this issue of Rabbi Hirsch's support of Torah Derech Eretz, but it's certainly, it's almost like a Mar Makom in that discussion. Rav Hirsch says, and again, it's too long for me to read the entire thing, but I'll read just maybe four or five sentences. He says, the free permeation with the divine spirit in accordance with the will of God, he's speaking about Talmud Torah, a harmony which realizes the concept of beauty in the most sublime sense of the word, which is again experienced through Limud Torah. This Mishnah teaches us the following great lesson. He who, while studying, does not become aware of this higher beauty of God's teaching, so that he will break off his sacred work to exclaim over the beauty of nature, is as if he had sinned against his own soul, or rather, as if he had forfeited his soul. For despite his study, he thus shows that he has not come to understand the dignity and beauty of a human soul that is guided and enlightened by the Spirit of God, a beauty and dignity that surpasses all earthly beauty by far. So what Rav Hirsch is saying is that if a person is learning in the proper way, he would have had a glimpse of the beauty of his own soul, the beauty of God's Spirit inside of himself as he's learning, the beauty of God's Spirit, which of course is enmeshed in the Torah Sakadosha. A person who really is experiencing that does not need to then go ahead and look at the tree or look at the field to find beauty there. The beauty exists and is experienced in the Torah itself. This person clearly is demonstrating that he has not come to understand the dignity and beauty of a human soul as expressed by the Torah, and therefore he needs to break off his learning to experience that grandeur somewhere else. It's a little bit similar, in a way, to the discussion or the later Mishnah Perek Dalet of Hafachtabo Vafachtabo. A person who really turns the Torah over, sort of like what the Shita Rabbeinu Tam is about learning Talmud Bavli, how everything is somehow included in that Gemara, refers to saying that in a, I guess, in a much more philosophical way, almost in a much more spiritual way, so to speak. And therefore, the person is Mechai ben Nafso, so again, as Rav Hirsch says, so he has sort of sinned against his own soul by almost selling the Torah short and by looking at nature. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea by Rav Hirsch. And lastly, I want to mention another pshat brought down in the Pirkei Avos of the Alter Meis Slabodka. I'll tell you what I think that he's saying. It's pretty clear besides a couple words. So he says, Lo medubar shehifsik hala es mishnaso. The problem is not that this person who was learning interrupted his learning to look at nature. Ela hifsik mi mishnaso. That by looking at nature, he's mapsik from the overall experience of learning and of growth and of dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hifsik es kol, and this is a beautiful language, hifsik es kol psil hachibor mishnaso. He's been mapsik the connecting thread of his learning. It's not so much that he was mevatel from his learning, but the connecting thread of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything, that has become disjointed. Ki hahafsaka l'tzar chisboninus b'noi b'riyoso yisborach, because to be mapsik to the purpose of being misbonein in the beauty of God's creation, he davar mevura chomoil. It's very beneficial and it's very blessed. It's very beautiful. Ukvishakasa balchovas halavavos b'shar b'china. Of course, that's what sort of the 80 pages of Shar b'china is about. V'hitorer biatzma. There's an entire discussion exactly about this. Ul divrei harambam yachol agia af ledarga hagvoa sha'avas Hashem. We know, of course, the famous Rambam and Yisodi HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, that by looking at nature, looking at beauty, this way that a person comes to Avas Hashem, therefore there's no problem of stopping learning to look at nature. That's not the issue at all. Ela Shehala Hipsik, again, Mimishnaso. The problem is that he has lost the connecting thread between Torah and nature, between the Halacha and God's creation of the world. Es Atzmo Hipsik. He really sort of made divisions within himself. It's almost like the man of Torah and the man of nature. You know, the man of technology and the man of lamdas. No, it's all sort of one person. Who nitek es atzo min halimud. He sort of is separating himself and his soul from the limud. V'alkeinu mischai b'nafsho. And that's why he has sort of brought destruction upon himself and upon his soul. Now, what I mentioned, what I find so fascinating and so beautiful, is the huge, huge variety of opinions. One opinion, again, sort of on one extreme, the opinion of the Bar Tanura, that the issue is being mafsik from learning, period. The issue is bitul Torah. And that even for nature, even though it has its time, even for other things, whatever that might be, so a person cannot be mevatel from learning. And the opposite of opinion is, no, there's no problem with the observation of nature. There's no problem with the observation of science. The problem is that he lost the ability to connect Torah together with nature. What a fundamental argument between many different Mefarshim. And again, it's not that one is right or that one is wrong. Both of these and every opinion in the middle sort of highlights different qualities of Torah. Maybe speaks to different types of people. Maybe can sort of support a person's sort of own hashkafa about the world that was sort of imbued into him from birth and from parents. Such a wide range of opinions. I would just point out that for both of the extreme opinions, obviously there needs to be thoughtfulness. The person who says you could never be mafsik from learning, even for nature, well, of course, that opinion, the Bar Tanura, or that opinion of Rabbeinu Yaakov, of course, you would say that there are situations where it's absolutely appropriate to stop learning, whether that is for tefillah, whether it's for other mitzvos, whether perhaps it's for kivra aveim, whether it's for helping a person's wife, you know, whatever it is that he's doing. Obviously, there are exceptions. A person can just sort of lock themselves in a closet and say, you know, this is it, and I'm not interfering. And secondly, sort of on the other extreme, the opinion of the Tamidim of the Alter Meis Lobotka, you know, it's one thing to say that while I'm walking and I'm learning and I see the tree and I see God's beauty, I incorporate that into my learning as well. But there are also, you know, Yesh Dover Sov. There's obviously a point in which a person has to say, you're right, all of these things can be meaningful in developing, cultivating like a broad hashkafa about the world. At the same time, those things obviously need to be secondary to Lima Torah and to maybe more intensive forms of Avodas Hashem. It's easy to sort of become a Torah Madonik, but end up having sort of Torah be something which is you know, very, very lacking in the middle of that. So obviously both extreme opinions need to be you know, sort of appropriated and thought about in a very honest way, right, and in a very thoughtful and sophisticated way. I do want to mention that I saw in the Pirkei Avos of Irving Bunim, it's really the classic of the Pirkei Avos. Irving Bunim, of course, is a legendary figure in American Jewry, and his role on the world stage during World War II. And his Pirkei Avos is the real classic. And he points out something which I would not have either remembered or known on my own, that this Rabbi Yaakov in the Mishnah was the grandson of Acher, of Elisha ben Avua. And in fact, the Gemara says in Chulin and in Kedushin that if Elisha ben Avua had learned from his grandson Rabbi Yaakov, so then he would not have become Acher. But the common link between Rabbi Yaakov and Elisha ben Avua is this idea of Holich Bederech. Right, Elisha ben Avua was holich b'derech. He saw things that shook his faith, and that obviously shattered, you know, his life. You know, holich b'derech, sort of maybe seeing things like in the natural world that went against, you know, the strict reading of the Torah. And this Rabbi Yaakov has almost like a different feel. A person is holich b'derech. Life is often complex. He's learning. He's also looking at nature. He's trying to incorporate all of that into his sort of worldview. And again, it's just fascinating that Elisha ben Avua, who's identified with being the person who while being holich b'derech, sort of met his spiritual downfall, so to speak, Rabbi Yaakov is entertaining a very different idea. A person who's holich b'derech, holich b'derech is a very wide swath of territory. Letecha b'derech. A person goes through their life incorporating Torah, incorporating the laws or the dinim of bittul Torah, hasmada b'Torah, also incorporating where it's appropriate the appreciation for nature, the appreciation for the world, conflicting responsibilities. All that is sort of what Rabbi Yaakov, in a way, is grappling with and trying to bring to a harmonious conclusion. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And Mr. Shem, we'll do another Shirin Pirkei Avos sometime this week. Be well.